It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com and on the 77 WABC app. This show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many professions and industries, including sales, social media, corporate culture, leadership, strategic planning, retail, communications, entrepreneurship, financial planning, marketing and advertising, time management, hiring, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid business advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, we open with some thank yous. Special thank you to Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, and to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays a great support role in the production of the show, namely Rena, Srilly, Miriam, Dina. Thank you. Also, a shout out to the great team at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin. Thank you very much. Well, also, a special thank you to last week's guest, the CEO of 1-800-Flowers, Chris McCann. I got a lot of great feedback, both online. Special thank you to Judah Harris, who wrote a great post on Facebook. Thank you for that. And so many other sources of feedback that I've gotten on that show. Actually, the winning line of that show was, where Chris had mentioned, he said, "I'd rather my employees get a speeding ticket than a parking ticket." What a great way of putting it in terms of motivating your team to think out of the box, be forward thinking. And that was just such a great line. Of course, we retweeted it out. And of course, I want to mention that you could follow me on social media. That's where we talk about our upcoming guests. And that's where you would know who our amazing guest is this week. The channels that I primarily use is LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you can follow me there, Yitzhak Saflis. Kind of any way you spell it, you should be able to find me. Also, just a reminder, a lot of times I'm asked, hey, I missed a certain guest. Let's say you missed Chris McCann last week and you want to listen to it. No problem. There's a website that has a link to every single past guest, and that is WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. On there, you'll find the links. The guest that had a, it was just a recording, it's there, and you can listen, whether it's iTunes or on the website, etc. Many of them were videoed as well. The one with Dawn Fay was video. She's the district president at Robert Half for the Northeast region. That was videoed. That's up there at WABCBizRadio.com. And all the incredible guests, Dr. Adrian Boise, chief experience officer at Cleveland Clinic, Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, Renee Reinsberg, VP of emerging products at GoDaddy, James Rosebush, former senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan and author of True Reagan, and so many other incredible guests. They're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, with me live in studio is none other than David Mendel. David is the CEO of OHEL Children's Home and Family Services, which is a leading social service organization which services thousands daily. OHEL Children's Home and Family Services was founded in 1969 and today has over 1,500 employees. And with an annual budget of $76 million, just to give some perspective on the on what weighs on David's shoulders. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where we will discuss so many fascinating aspects of running a large nonprofit, and specifically the virtues of diversified programming, employee retention and staff stability, and also how to handle the press and maintain a stellar reputation, which both David Mendel, thank God, has, and the organization as a whole. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to David Mendel. David, Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. But I would rather get a parking ticket than a speeding ticket.
Well, okay. Well, I'll have to get you in touch with Chris McCann on that one.
Okay.
But certainly the analogy was great.
But from a business standpoint, to push, go forward, rush to meet the customer.
Yes. And that's what 1-800-Flowers claims to do. Well, let's open up by talking about your journey. I mean, you've had a successful career before you joined OHEL. What motivated you to join OHEL? What was the backstory, if you will? I hope I'm not putting you on the spot.
Not at all. It's a pleasure to be here. And I comment to people when they ask me what my relationship or association with OHEL, how long I've been with OHEL. And I like to say that I've been with OHEL an amazing 21 years, and I've never had a bad day.
Wow.
I've had difficult days. Everyone has hard days, but I've never had a bad day. A bad day means that you don't want to go to work that day, that you're not looking forward to going to work. That's a bad day. I've never had, thankfully, thank God, a bad day at OHEL. I've always looked forward to coming to work, to wanting to be with the people, to wanting to be involved with this remarkable organization.
Wow. So, I mean, that's a great perspective, and soon we'll get into the... that leads me to really my next question. I mean, OHEL provides an array of services, and some of them are deal with great challenges. Perhaps in a nutshell, you can explain what OHEL does. It's not possible to explain in a nutshell, but maybe we could try.
Most people who think of OHEL, today we live in a world of fleeting information and fleeting seconds, and people don't stop to tell you the rest of the story. Everything is in, like, it used to be 15 seconds. Today it's in 3 seconds. So the world thinks of OHEL as a foster care agency. It was founded as a Kinderheim, the Jewish word for a home of children. In fact, OHEL has grown expansively over the past 47 years, where we provide services to the everyday person with the everyday problems. It's a range of mental health, housing for people with disabilities, psychiatric disabilities, developmental disabilities, outpatient mental health counseling, foster care, day programs, employment opportunities. But for the most part, OHEL should be viewed as, at some point in everyone's life, they come in a situation where they need some help. They might get the help from a rabbi, from a therapist, from a neighbor, from a friend, from their boss. People do need help. There's no such thing as going through life without needing some help. OHEL provides services to the everyday person when they get to a point in their life, whatever it might be, struggles financially, anxiety disorders, depression, psychiatric, or they just a marital problem, they may need to see someone for one time, for an hour, or a lifetime of services. That's what OHEL is. Mm. OHEL is home to all those individuals.
So this really brings back into view the comment you mentioned before, that you never had a bad day, which is a compliment to your perspective that of how you view it as helping people, and some of them in very severe situations, and yet it's done with a sense of, in the Jewish word is achrayus, I guess, if you will.
Responsibility.
Wow. Now, moving along, there's a quote that I've heard from you, which is, successful nonprofits should be run like a business. And perhaps this could even lead to a column I've seen that I saw that you wrote around 15 years ago, actually a fascinating column called, called Guaranteed IPOs. And that is where you kind of challenged Wall Street to look at nonprofits with a new lens and say, hey, maybe, you know, look at us and don't be so focused on the ROI, the return on investment financially, but rather in a sense of responsibility for what nonprofits provide to humanity. a great perspective. Maybe you could talk about it.
When I was at NYU for my MBA, the underpinning of business education is that there is only one purpose that a company has. There's only one goal that a CEO of a company has, and that's return on shareholder value.
Right.
To the extent that you can increase the profit and the quarterly earnings and increase the shareholder value, the stock price, the dividends, you're a star.
Right.
Anything else that you do, oh, it's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
How does that translate into public sector, into public service? We can't. It's difficult. First of all, the IRS doesn't permit IPOs in the not-for-profit. So I posited, and I send this to my friends in Wall Street, and I said there has to be a way to do this. The return on shareholder value or not-for-profit is the good feelings that you get from seeing people get better. The knowing that you've made changes in the world, that you've made a difference. Can you invest in not-for-profit in the public sector in OHEL? And so my friends on Wall Street said, "Nice, David. Appreciate the thought, but that's not where we are. That's not how we sell, you know, IPOs." And lo and behold, about 3 years ago, I believe it was someone out of Harvard. Worked out, I'm not sure how or where it is right now, but he worked out a concept that you can issue IPOs
Wow.
in the not-for-profit sector.
Wow.
So the concept is that if you're running, if you're in charge of a not-for-profit organization, first of all, you have a responsibility to the shareholders.
Right.
The shareholders that are the board of directors.
Right.
The shareholders are the donors, the benefactors, the foundations, the people that you serve.
Right.
It's the same shareholders. It's the same concept. You have to manage it like a business. It's good to say, "Don't worry.
Yeah,
we'll take care of everything."
Yeah.
But in order to do goods, in order to provide quality services, you also need to have quality money. That's the concept of merging public health, mental health, and business.
Wow. Now, just to hold on to one of the points I wanted to raise, which is that a nonprofit should be run like a business. Now, of course, we talked about the idea about the IPOs. Are there any other takeaways you could share with the listeners on that point?
A nonprofit does not mean that you should be losing money. That's not the definition of a nonprofit. A nonprofit means that at the end of the day, at the end of the fiscal year, that you are not running deficits, or that if you are on a short-term basis, you're able to sustain it through support, understanding, support of the board of directors, understanding by your donors. It comes with transparency of your filings, that you do your filings on time. I sat last week with a very sophisticated donor, and before he would give a dollar to an organization, he interviews you for an hour.
Wow.
With one of our board members, Hinda Mizrahi. She and I sat with this individual, and for an hour he asked questions about the programs, the services, and the funding, the financing. He wanted to make sure that the organization, that OHEL, has an understanding of money. He knew that OHEL has an understanding of social services. He wanted to make sure that OHEL has an understanding of the relationship of money to social services in order for him to be a donor. That is an excellent experience that every CEO must go through to appreciate what they are responsible for.
Such a great perspective. I mean, moving forward, there's a very exciting news at OHEL that you're in the process of anyone in Brooklyn, Flatbush, certainly knows about the beautiful new building that's going up on Avenue M. Perhaps you could talk about the vision, the story behind it, anything that you could share.
All the vision at OHEL emanates from the board of directors. That's what excites me about working at OHEL. When you have individuals, Maish Hellman and Mel Zachter, the co-president, Jay Kestenbaum, Jack Jaffa, David Brescher, Annette Rubin, so many other individuals that are involved in leadership positions, you get energy from them. Mm. You get energy from within. You get energy from outside. The whole conversation right now about Israel, the negotiations of inside out and outside in, you need to get energy from both, inside and outside. That wasn't a political commentary.
Right. No, but it's great perspective.
So after 47 years of being located in Borough Park, we talked about, and OHEL has expanded greatly, and OHEL needed more space. After 8 years of conversation on the board level, how to go about it, this was one of the most significant decisions that OHEL could make, certainly the largest financial decision. Jack Jaffa, vice president, one of our board members, found us a space. The old NBC studio building across the street from the old Shulamis, from the old Central, for your listeners who are a little bit older, BTA and Central High School on East 14th Street. So we bought the building. And we're now renovating 100,000 square feet.
Wow.
And we will consolidate OHEL's services into one location. So that in today's day and age, in the concept of merging medical and behavioral health services, managed care, people like to get their services in one location.
Right.
People don't want to come to a place and be told,
and travel, and
travel
and
over
an
here.
There, and
I'll
then,
make you an appointment. Get go get this work done over there. This is OHEL's next 50 years. So whenever Mashiach, the Messiah comes, whatever happens in services, this is OHEL's next 50 years. God willing, we hope to be there in a few short months.
Wow. I mean, a quick takeaway from the response that you you mentioned about the building is, it was 8 years in the planning. I love to hear that. And the listeners of Mind Your Business primarily are small to medium-sized business owners. And it's important perspective. We live in a day and age where you send a tweet and you're waiting to see how many likes it got and how many people retweeted it. But wait a second. For real vision, you have to take a step back and consult with a board, which, thank God, you're blessed. Sounds like you're blessed with a great board. And let the idea percolate, let thought go into it, let there develop a strategic plan around it, and lo and behold, in a few months, you'll be in a beautiful new building. But it didn't just happen by someone waving a magic wand.
One of the foundation principles that we have at OHEL, once again, that merges mental health services to people with the business concept. I don't want to overemphasize the business concept, but this is a foundation principle by our board of directors. The OHEL mantra is to expand, to continue to provide more services to more people, wherever it's needed, however it's needed. So OHEL does provide services throughout New York City, many parts of New Jersey. We have an operation in Los Angeles, and we do provide services. This is not a commercial, literally worldwide. Whenever the professional staff come to OHEL and talk about expanding services, we follow a principle that Saul Friedman and Jay Kestenbaum, two board members, have laid down. It's good to expand, but at what expense? Mm. And they don't mean it financially. They mean it service-wise. Yes, OHEL should expand, but never at the expense of current clients that we serve. Never at the expense of the diminution of services. Always making sure that your base continues to be served. If you expand to serve people here, but you're taking away services from here, what did you accomplish? 8 years in the making was to make sure that OHEL could undertake a project of this scope, of this scale. That's the 8 years of thinking.
Wow. Special shout out to Saul Friedman, who is a client of Bottom Line, a very close friend as well. So just a special shout out to him. My guest this evening is none other than David Mendel, CEO of OHEL Children's Home and Family Services. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
Hi, this is Yitzhak Saftlis of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's csuitetv.com. C-Suite TV. Business Insights on Demand. And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Well, each week we have a giveaway. This week's giveaway is the book by Steve Rizzo, who was a guest on our show. And you can actually watch the video we had with him. It's up on YouTube, and you can easily access it by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, the book is called Motivate This: How to Start Each Day with an Unstoppable Attitude to Succeed, Regardless of Your Circumstances. You could win it. Well, it's going to be one winner. Everyone else can go and buy it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. But you could win it by sending a text to 22828 and put in the letters MYB. It's that simple. Put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business, and then just send it to 22828, and you're automatically entered to win this great book, Motivate This, by comedian Steve Rizzo. Well, my guest this evening is none other than David Mendel, CEO of OHEL Children's Home and Family Services. And we thank David for taking out of his very precious time to join us here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you.
One reason that OHEL flourishes is its diverse programming. You touched on it a few moments ago about always being there for the need as it comes up. How critical is it to remain a step ahead and kind of see things coming at you and be there when the need arises rather than just being a step behind and being reactive?
Once a year, I give a talk to our staff at OHEL, my colleagues at OHEL, and hopefully it's a motivational talk, I hope. Okay. They still come, so hopefully it's they're still interested
good.
In it.
Yeah.
And I remember one time saying that I remember a third grade Rebbe or a third grade teacher once said to all the boys when they were about to go away for the summer, how you have to continue to strive, how you have to continue to improve. Right. That if you're going to spend the summer coming back in September being the same person that you are in June, you went backwards. Because standing still means going backwards. Now, that thought stayed with me for a very long time, since the third grade. And I think it's a very important comment in life. Wow. You can't stand still. You always have to improve. That doesn't mean that you grow by leaps and bounds every day or every month, but you always have to strive to get better. You can do that by reading. You can do that by listening. You can do that by watching. That's the concept that we try to take at OHEL. You always have to improve. You can't sit still. That means becoming smarter through the training institute that OHEL has, educationally learning. That means developing new services. That means finding out from the customers, our clients, our right. residents, our patients, what they need. So you always strive to do better, and you'll always find a way to do more.
Now, I'd imagine that an organization as large as OHEL would often have to grow and shrink much of its programming according to funding and public need. Now, you addressed this point before about the guidance from Saul Friedman, and it was Jay Kestenbaum. And you addressed it well, but how can a large organization be so flexible? I find it fascinating.
I think today may be the most challenging times for our industry, our sector, mental health, social services, public services. The people with disabilities, by and large, qualify for Medicaid. The Medicaid funding stream is the engine that drives the public mental health system. And it's not under attack, but it's under severe strain. Mm. And the Medicaid dollars are shrinking. The mental health portion of, if I can, of GDP, of the gross domestic product, the public health is 17% of the GDP.
Wow.
That's trillions of dollars. And the mental health component of that is the largest sector.
Wow.
We're talking about massive, massive, hundreds of billions of dollars. When that shrinks out of Washington and that shrinks in New York, the trickle-down effect on organizations like ours is very direct. It takes about 6 to 12 months, but it's very direct. So you serve more people. You have less money. What do you do?
Yeah.
You're committed to people. You can't say to people, we can no longer serve
you. Right. Washington is not coming to
you. Whatever it is. Right. You know, part of the gestalt of OHEL is to serve those that are in need. It requires a lot of conversation with colleagues, professionals, the donors, the board members. Those are conversations that we are having these days to a very large extent. An organization that doesn't have those conversations is not preparing for its future.
Wow. Wow. I mean, you're saying it's so clear, but...
The small organizations need it on their level. The middle, medium, whatever we consider, we're a $76 million budget. In the social service world, we're large. But we're a middle-sized organization. So we don't talk a lot about the $76 million. We talk a lot about the thousands of people that we serve every day. You know, here's a great story, if I may.
Sure.
In my community, I was in the shopping in a large, you can't call it grocery stores these days.
Right, okay.
It's
large
mega. It's a mega food emporium.
Yeah.
They're all mega food emporiums. I'm in the vegetable section. And a woman comes over to me. She says, "Mr. Mandel, I just want to say hello." She introduces herself. She said, "I've always wanted to write a letter to OHEL. I've always wanted to tell you this story." She said, "I came into OHEL when I was 4 years old." Mm. I said, "Into foster care?" I said, "I don't normally ask a person their age.
Right.
May I ask how old you are?" She said, "I'm 50. I said, "So you came into OHEL in the very beginning?
Right.
In 1967. She said, "I came into OHEL. I was one of OHEL's first children." She told me the story. She was not an abused or neglected child, whatever the circumstances were in her family. One of the things that we do at OHEL is that we love to tell stories, but we can't tell too many
details.
Too many details of it, because someone might recognize them. And we stood there in the vegetable section, and I was just mesmerized. Mm. I wanted to get a tape, a recorder. I wanted to get a video camera, but it's a very private conversation right there in front of the tomatoes, just listening. So she said, I would like to sit down and tell you the story. And so she and I will get together next week.
Wow.
And she will recount the story. If you helped people 47 years ago, and it made such a difference, and she introduced me to her daughter, and she tells me the story, how can we reduce our services?
Such a great point.
How can we serve less people? We have to figure it out.
Wow. Wow. What incredible perspective by the CEO of OHEL himself, David Mendel. In case someone's just tuning in now, no worries. By Tuesday morning, this entire episode will be up at wabcbizradio.com. Not the video component. There will be a video of this that won't be it will take more than a couple of days. But the audio will be up at wabcbizradio.com. And of course, for those iTunes fans, it's there on the iTunes channel as well. We're going to take a short commercial break, but before we do, I want to remind the listeners about this incredible new book that came out, Motivate This, How to Start Each Day with an Unstoppable Attitude to Succeed, Regardless of Your Circumstances, by none other than Steve Rizzo. You could win it. Well, one lucky winner is going to win it. All you have to do is send a text to 22828 and put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. Just those three letters. MYB, send a text to 22828, and you will be automatically entered to win this new book, Motivate This by Steve Rizzo. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. Team Ahead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. Team Ahead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how Team Ahead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. My guest this evening is none other than the CEO of OHEL Children's Home and Family Services, David Mendel. Mr. Mendel, OHEL is known for its transparency. And, I mean, there's a wealth of information that's on the website alone. But now talking about the concept of transparency, how critical is that in the business world and all the more so in the nonprofit world?
If you are an organization that relies on public funds, which all not-for-profits in the public sector, if you're an organization that relies on donor funds, on foundation funds, you must do it because it's a requirement when you submit any proposals. It's an understanding that you must have when you're speaking with any sophisticated donor. About 20 years ago, Congress passed the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. When Wall Street companies were getting into trouble restating their earnings on billions of dollars, Congress passed the Sarbanes-Oxley, which required, that dealt with transparency. OHEL, the not-for-profit world, was not required to follow the same standards, but OHEL, once again led by our board of directors, our chief financial officer, we made a decision that to the extent possible, we will follow it. So we follow transparency laws. We have a very active finance committee of the board of directors. We have a very active audit committee of the board of directors. We have an active risk management committee of the board of directors. Those are three legs that help an organization, individuals like myself, the CEO, the CFO, deal with transparency. We, as professionals, have an obligation to the board. The board has an obligation to the community and the donors. Once you understand what your responsibility is, it's fairly easy to implement it.
Wow. Wow. But it's, of course, having all those concrete steps in place and adhering to them that's key.
Every once in a while, a colleague in the field calls and asks for information or advice about how to deal in a certain situation or how to deal whatever the crisis or the problem may be. My very first question, whether I'm speaking with a principal, a leader, a community, my very first question is, tell me about your board of directors. And so often, too often, the response is, I don't have a board.
Wow.
We don't have a board.
Just like that.
Or they're not active. Well, then the conversation starts from there. You need to have a board of directors as any organization that's publicly financed for whatever amount of money, regardless of what they do, regardless of what field they're in, a board of directors is essential. Because then that's the wheel in the car. That obligates you to put your hands on the steering wheel. And then you don't always get there.
Right.
And you get there with problems. But it's not easy.
But
your hand is on the steering wheel.
Wow. Wow. Now, businesses and organizations alike occasionally face what we'll call, quote unquote, bad press. Thank God all is blessed with a stellar reputation. What recommendations could you suggest to the audience on how to kind of stay with a great reputation, and if God forbid there's a surprise, how to deal with it?
That's such a great complex question. I would like your hundreds of thousands of listeners to please call in and give me advice on this one. This is one of those areas where when you seek advice from three people, you get four opinions. So thankfully, over the years, we have had a few of those situations, thank God, but it's the issue that keeps you up at night. And as Moshe Hellman says, and is a famous proverb, the only thing that a person owns is their name. When you die, the only thing you have left is your name, a good name. A good name is better than anything else. So we've had a situation in which we've sought advice from really some of the smartest thinkers. I could name who we sought advice from, and some would appreciate it and some would not appreciate it that I mentioned their names. And you really get two responses. One is call back the media, respond to every question. You can't, especially the major media.
Right.
Don't ignore it. It doesn't go away. Prepare yourself. Prepare a press release. Talk to people like Yitzhak Saflis at Bottom Line.
Thank you.
Who can provide crisis management and public relations. And the other school of thought is don't respond. So this is where we are, and we've spent a lot of time thinking about it. We've had one or two situations. So the advice that we would give to people from what we learned is, number one, you need to respond. It doesn't go away. Mm. Number two, huddle with a group of people on your board. If you have a head of communications, marketing, public relations on your staff, if you want to engage an outside company, whoever that might be, or an outside individual, don't go through it alone. Do not go into a bunker mentality.
Okay.
Don't lock yourself up and think that it's all going to be okay.
Right.
Allow people to provide you information and support. Recognize that that alone can be a traumatic experience
right.
with a small T, hopefully. prepare a written response. Always respond in email. Don't get into a telephone conversation.
Great, great advice.
You're going to be misquoted, not intentionally, but that's the world of media. Very concise. Right. And prepare to deal with it.
Wow. Wow. I mean, we certainly hope no one has to navigate that situation, but as David has pointed out, it's such actually great advice. Again, if anyone wants to that missed that or wants to go back and listen to these points, this interview will be available at wabcbizradio.com, wabcbizradio.com by Tuesday after it airs. Wow. Now, let's talk about OHAL's programs and appeal. We know that sometimes certain projects or ways of servicing the public are more marketable than others. From a fundraising standpoint, are there any tips on that?
Once again, it's a very important question, and the best answer is to always talk about the client. Whenever we meet with a donor, mm-hmm. a funder, any group of people, or they don't have to be a donor, you're just meeting with anyone, we try to keep two concepts in mind. I try to keep two concepts in mind. First, talk about the client. Don't talk about the organization. Don't talk about what OHAL does. It's like, let me tell you about a person that we're serving.
Amazing.
Let me tell you about a family that we're helping. And number two, don't talk about the past. Talk about the present. It's much more relevant if I tell you about a story that happened yesterday than if I tell you something that happened 10 years ago or 40 years ago. Again, in today's age that we live in, with the quickness, with the impatience, if you can get someone like we are looking at each other right now,
right.
literally,
right.
if you can get someone to have his attention
right.
focused
attention.
On you while you're telling him a story, you know that you're in good shape. But if you're telling a story and his eyes have already moved someplace else,
right.
stop your story. He stopped paying attention. Talk about a client. Talk about someone that you helped today. Can I give you an example?
Of course. Sure.
Every once in a while, I get a note from someone months or years after we spoke. And I just click on that email every once in a while, and I just look at it, and it just livens me up.
Right.
I want to read to you two sentences
sure.
from an email I recently
sure.
got.
Sure.
This is a couple that I was helping a number of years ago, and wherever they moved on, they moved on. They write me a note. We owe you a tremendous amount of gratitude for always being there for us. Your knowledge and words of encouragement have been a beacon of hope during this difficult stage in our life. Their challenge is infertility. And one might wonder, well, what does that have to do with OHAL? We help everyday people with everyday problems. So we were giving them some advice. I was helping them out in their situation. And they took the time to write a thank you note.
Right.
Which most people don't.
Yeah, yeah. That when you're getting something that represents thousands of others that should, but don't.
You know, I like to say, I've never in 21 years gotten the call at OHAL that says, Mandel, I'm calling to tell you that everything is good. I'm happy.
Well, I hope it happens after the show, but
I'm happy. I don't need OHAL services. So these type of two-sentence email,
Great
oh my
point.
Gosh.
Also want to encourage the listeners, coming up in a few weeks, we're going to have, actually it might wind up being next week's show, Christine Comerford. She's a fantastic thinker. She wrote the book Smart Tribes, and I'm going to ask her about, she had a great article in Forbes about CEOs need to become great storytellers. And I'm going to ask her about that because, and David just brought it up. We're going to take a short commercial break. You're tuned to Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. Stay tuned. Hi, this is Yitzhak Saftless of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's csuitetv.com. C-Suite TV, business insights on demand. And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. In case you're just tuning in, my guest this evening is none other than David Mendel, CEO of OHEL Children's Home and Family Services. Thank you again, David, for taking of your precious time.
Pleasure.
To join me here on Mind Your Business. A couple of important questions that I really want to make sure we get to in the time remaining. As CEO of a massive organization, and again, $76 million budget just gives it a sense of perspective, how could you constantly ensure that your clients all over the world, I mean, you mentioned, of course, New York, New Jersey, LA, but the impact is around the world and people that call for advice and services, et cetera. How could you maintain control over such, multiple touch points, if you will, between the organization and clients?
The two-word answer is eyes on. OHEL has been asked to open branches in many parts of the country and different parts of the world, and in Baltimore and Chicago and San Diego and Washington State. And our philosophy has been that we will respond and give advice and consultation anywhere that people ask us, but we won't open a branch, so to speak. Our philosophy is that we have to have hands on and eyes on. We have a responsibility, fiduciary, and programmatically and regulatory, and we want to make sure that we see what we're doing and feel and touch what we're doing. So that's been the approach. It's not a control issue, it's an oversight issue.
Wow. So it's a great, but that's a way of ensuring that you have, as you said, eyes on
quality assurance, quality control, visiting programs, talking to people. The old idiom used to be management by walking around, and we feel that we want to respond to wherever we can. But we're not opening branches. Right. The only time that we did it was in Los Angeles. We felt that was the right situation when the board of directors of the organization, ETA, asked us to take responsibility, and that made sense.
Now, I would imagine it's very difficult to delegate to others, especially when you're working with such sensitive information. How do you manage to do that?
I had a great mentor amongst my Rebbeim, Rebbes in life. His name is Fred McCormick, may he rest in peace. Just a tremendous thinker. I've spoken about him a lot. And I'll reference an article by Russell Acuff, who wrote just a fantastic article called Transformational Leadership. And Russell Acuff talks about the difference between the manager and the leader. So how do you delegate? A leader delegates. A leader understands that their responsibility is to teach, to delegate, to influence. A leader doesn't manage. Managers accomplish many things around the space that they have.
Right.
So we hope that we instill in our staff that everyone is a leader. We try to use the word you are leaders. We try to avoid the term you are managers. This is not just words, but it's the gestalt.
Right.
It's the concept. Leaders denotes.
Right. Leadership.
Vision. Expanse. Management denotes something within your space. We always want you to be outside of your space. Take care of your space,
right?
But also look outside of your space.
Now, when trying to grow a company or organization, how important is it to communicate trust to your employees on the inside? Maybe you could provide some examples.
Once again, that requires an hour conversation.
Yeah, on its own.
And here we are with, you know, 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably what was true 6,000 years ago is true today. Talking to people, giving them information. There was a great study done about 25 years ago. I think it was in the automotive industry.
Okay.
And it asked people, what's the top three things that you want from the company? What do you think number one was? It wasn't money. It was communication, relationship. People want from their workplace a feeling that they have a relationship to the organization, that they're part of a group, that they're being listened to, that they're being cared for. It wasn't money. Maybe today the top answer would be health insurance, but it's very instructive. If people feel that they're cared for, that they're listened to, that they have information, that they know what's going on, I don't mean every day, every detail.
Right.
Then they become part of the organization.
Now, on that note, I mean, OL is known for, as they say, hiring from within to a great degree. Now, we know that the first step in having a great team is hiring the right people from the outset. Any tips on how an employer could spot a keeper, if you will?
Number one is I try to use the Ed Koch approach to hiring. Ed Koch, many, many years ago, you know, you have to read and you have to listen and
right.
you have to talk to people. And right. they could be dead and gone already for many years, but their words still ring true. Ed Koch said, first look inside. If you have a position and you promote someone, then you promote someone else to that position. And then you promote someone else to that position. You have one opening and you promoted three people. It goes back to your previous question, making people feel like they're part of the organization. Number two, we have a fellows program at OHEL. Every single year, we identify two or three people that we say to them, we want to treat you special. It's risky, of course. But you assign to them a mentor, and we say to them, pick the one area that you want to become better in. And try not to pick the area that you already know.
Wow.
Learn something new. Wow. We will invest in you. We will support you. We will train you. We will spend money on you. We've done that for 11 years. And we say, there's no promises at the end of the rainbow. Right. Quite a few of those fellows are now in senior leadership positions at OHEL.
Wow.
So we do internal recruitment, internal training. We invest in our own staff.
Now, David, I've known you for a number of years. I mean, I have the good fortune of knowing you for many years. You're an exceptionally caring person. How do you permeate? How do you give that over that a staff of 1,500 people can also take on that great responsibility, that mantra that you feel so passionate about?
First of all, thank you very much for your compliment. I don't accept it.
That's true.
I appreciate it. I would like to believe that the answer is passion. I would like to believe that the answer is that I really do appreciate that we can make a difference. I used to think, Itzhak, that our job at OHEL was to change the world every day. And then I learned that maybe our job is to help the community every day. And today I understand that if we can help one person a day, if everyone at OHEL can somehow help one person a day that's standing in front of them or that's on the other side of the internet that they're talking to, if you can touch one person a day, you've made a difference. All you need to do in this world is make a difference. And if you feel like you're making a difference, and if you believe that you're part of a team, of a group, of an organization that's making a difference, if you believe that, the rest is really easy.
Wow. I mean, normally I ask for a parting thought by the end of the interview, but this is really a fantastic parting thought. But if you, is there anything else you want to share in the last remaining minute or so?
I hope that anyone listening to this conversation could take away one point, just one point from anything that you've said or anything that I've said. And I really would truly welcome your listening audience who learned something or who can teach me something to send you an email. Mm. We'd love to hear, because this is not you interviewing me. This is us talking to the community so we can listen to them and find out how we can be better at OHO. Thank you so much.
Wow.
This was great.
What an incredible show. A special thank you to David Mandel, CEO of OL. Of course, special thank you to Derek, who also facilitated, your wonderful Chief of Communications.
Derek Saker.
Derek Saker. Special thank you to him. And special thank you to the listening audience that always gives us great feedback on the shows that we have and gives us ideas for guests and what they're looking for. I want to encourage the audience to stay tuned up next for Rita Cosby here at 77 WABC and tune in again next Sunday evening for another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.